What's up? Welcome back to another awesome episode of the Life Inner Show podcast. I'm your host, Jason Wojo. I'm joined by my Polish co-host. I had to say that correctly. Polish Peter here. We got an awesome episode for you today.
Yeah, I just want to emphasize that the reason why he had to say it correctly, because we just had, you know, one of the things he said. What did you say in the previous one?
I said Polish co-host when I on the first take of this. Yeah,
it was a Polish co-host. Okay, so I am the Polish co-host. So listen, I'm excited about this particular episode because we're going to talk about something that I think is really important. A lot of entrepreneurs don't realize because we're so stuck in working kind of a thing. And we just came off of a Gear Life giveaway we had in Nashville. It was a great event. And these kind of what we call lies that we've been told of growing up with or at some point we learned recur a lot in the conversations that we had at these Gear Life giveaways. And what we want to do today is we want to talk about the top three lies that I think feel that keep people stuck, keep people from living the life that they want. Like, you know, we started a business in order to have what? Financial freedom, to have freedom for life, to spend time with the family, vacation, whatever it might be. And then guess what happens? We end up working 80, 90, 100 hours a week. And, you know, we never have that freedom. Like the freedom that we're looking for is actually keeping us stuck in order to get that freedom. It's like the best backwards kind of a thing. Does that make sense, Wojo?
Yeah.
So that's what we want to talk about in this particular episode. So why don't we just dive in and talk about those three lies, and maybe you have a bonus one at the end. But yeah. The first lie that I want to talk about is the lie of you got to grind now so you can live later. Grind now so you can live later. What does that mean? Well, think about it this way. It's in fact, I had a student who came into my group years ago. And when I first had my initial conversations with him, you know, he married, have kids, and his kids ranged from age like, you know, 3-4 years old to about 8-9 years old. And in a conversation that I have with him, he's like, listen, I got to work like my butt off right now. I got to grind now. And so I can have, you know, the life later. I'm like, Sarah, I started asking him, like, well, tell me about this life that you want to have. Well, I want to spend time with my kids. I want to hang out with my family. I want to go on vacations. I want to blah, 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 blah. So I'm asking him, so listen, so tell me, like, how long do you think it's going to take you for you to be able to grind it out now in order to live that life? And he's saying, well, maybe 5-6 years. So I'm asking him those questions. And as I'm saying, so listen, if you grind out for the next 5-6 years, your oldest is going to be a teenager, right? Is he one going to hang out with you at that particular time? Is going to start his own little life kind of thing?
And well, especially if, yeah, dude, especially if you're not around for like the previous 5 or 6 years, you think you can just turn it on? Like, okay, I'm available now. Like, hey, let's hang out.
Right. And I think that is, I lived that life too. You know what I mean? In my previous, you know, marriage and in my business back in the day, it was grind, 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 grind in order to. So I question, listen, I mean, where does this come from and how we get stuck in this?
Well, dude, you know, I think if look back to like even when you're a kid, it's like, hey, eat your vegetables before you get your dessert, right? Like, you know, you're not going to get your dessert until you check these boxes first. So I think it's a natural, and you could even argue like it's a smart way to do things. Like, hey, I'm going to, you know, you got to clean your room before you can go play with your friends. Like, all, we all remember those days. And so, like, I think it's just ingrained in us. And there's nothing, here's the challenge is like, you know, the grind, first of all, you got to look at like the relative frame of when you want to grind and see how other factors around you will be affected. So for instance, like you mentioned your kids, like, you know, and I've heard people say like, hey, you know, I'm actually going to work less now. And then when my kids are out of the house, I'm going to work more. And when the first time I heard that, I was kind of taken back because I'd never heard that before. Mm-hmm. Came from somebody in Life and Air. And I love it because it takes into consideration like a lot of the things around you that are very, very like, they're such a short period of time. They're there for such a temporal period of time that, you know, if you miss that boat, it's gone. Like, you're not going to regain it. And yet I also understand people's like desire and fear around not working now too. And like, hey, you know, I can't travel the world and you know, live out of a backpack until I'm 40. I need to start getting roots. I need to start like putting things down and setting myself up for success if I ever want to retire. And I think that itself could be contributing as well. Like if you have a retirement mentality, then you pro or if you know even if you're if it's a, whether it's a FIRE, you know, like the financially independent retire early movement kind of follower, or if you're just you want to retire, then I see why this can be so appealing to you. But the problem I see is that you know, you're missing out on these other things that are not recoverable, and you're just never gonna you'll cause irreparable damage in some areas of your life if you do it this way. And you know, dude, in life, you know, we teach you, you can have both, right? You don't have to do both. But like when I hear grind, I think of, you know, and this is taken to an extreme, but you're talking about extremely long hours where every other pursuit or interest in your life takes a back seat, whether it's your health or your family or your friendships or whatever. And so I think it's a, I think it's a wrong approach. I think you could have both. Number one, you can have you got to learn how to do things differently, of course. You know, you can't just make up for it through brute force. But dude, yeah, I think there's something there.
So I mean, I think one of the things that I think for the listener, you gotta recognize where it came from. I mean, you probably learned it from your dad or your mom or something from your childhood, right? That grind and what it means. Like, I remember learning it from my uncle because I remember sitting in his workshop days in and days out. He literally built his entire house by himself. He built all the furniture in this house. And guess who helped him? His wife. And from what I understand, they did it by themselves. Right. So this is a definition of grinding. He was always working, always doing something. So there is the belief system that drives it. The other aspect I want you to recognize, the listener, is this. You know, grind. That word itself is like, to me, it's painful, right? To just like grind that something is.
Grinding gears, grind. Yeah, you're not grinding. When is grinding a good thing?
Right. So what ends up happening is I think you end up getting exhausted. You get burned out a lot quicker. You end up, you know, health probably gets affected at some point and all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And the other aspect that I hear a lot, and you mentioned this at the events, when we do the events, you talk about this. And this is the hard truth that you sometimes mention about when people are working a lot, right? Do you know what I'm talking about? That, you know, working a lot is a sign of.
Yeah, I mean it's a sign of like and of course some people in the room get offended when I say this, but I believe it to be true is like if you're working a lot, many times it's a sign of fear, or it's a sign of like intellectual laziness, or even in some ways like you know, and that sounds crazy, but in some ways like you could be running away from things in your personal life. Maybe you're afraid of free time. Maybe your identity is wrapped up in work. Maybe you're afraid of not having enough and going to, like, it's just such an emotional, it's much more emotional in terms of its origin than you would think. It's not just because you have a thousand things to do, which we could talk about that all day long too. But like, it's, I think you've got to acknowledge that if you're busy all the time, there's something broken, and I don't mean, you know, that you are broken, but something in your belief system is preventing you from being able to step back and enjoy those things that are important to you, or you say are important to you. And listen, here's the other thing too, is this may sound strange for me to say, but like, even if you love your business, and it, well, listen, let me back up. If you truly love your business more than anything else in the world. Really, if you do, more than having a relationship, more than your health, more than friends, then go for it. Like that's your thing. Like one big thing with Life in Air is like, hey, we're not telling you what to do. We just want to make sure you know what you're doing, so you understand the consequences. But like, if you love your business, which I hope you do, but you also love these other parts of your life, then you have to figure out a better way to do it if you want to have both.
So what we just kind of like touched on, and I just want to be clear, and we're going to give you guys a solution on this particular podcast because I think there is some way, because we talked about, you know, that you can do both. But we touched on line number two here is that if I'm not busy, you know, I'm failing, or I'm lazy, or I'm not doing enough, or whatever it might be, right? And I think that's a very close cousin to the first lie of grinding, right? Because grinding, that means that I'm busy and all those kinds of things. So I think it's a really important aspect to ask yourself, if you are doing this, is, are you working on the right things? Are you, and when you are working in your business, and by the way, I said business, in business, not on business, but if you're working in your business, are you working on the right things, or are you working on the things that are just keeping you busy? Are you working on the things that are coming from the place of fear or worry, anxiety, meaning like, you know, there are other little lies that come with it. It's like, if I don't do it, nobody's going to do it as good as me, right? I have to do it because, you know, I do it right, you know, and those kinds of things, or it's got to be perfect, or whatever it might be. And what are the sub other kind of beliefs that are driving this busyness, that are driving this grinding, that keep you perpetuated in this whole entire kind of a, you know, grind kind of a thing? And when you start to discover that, you start to, you know, think about it this way, man. How many people do we have coming to our events that when we sit down with them and talk to them and they said, I'm working 80, 90, 100 hours a week? We have a lot of that, don't we? And it's, you know, and then their relationship get affected and things like that. So I don't know if you want to add anything to it, or we want to talk a little bit about the solution for those two kind of lies.
Yeah, let me just chime in here. Like one thing I think I've been thinking about this a little bit is one of the things I think contributes to this a lot is deadlines and expectations that we put on ourselves and our business. And so we feel like we have to do this thing right now. Like I have to make 100 grand, $1 million, 10 million, whatever the number is for you this year, or else I'm somehow a failure, or I'm, we create this artificial pressure that quite frankly doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. With a couple exceptions that maybe you truly are, like, you know, running out of money and you're flailing, in which case, you know, that's a different conversation. Like something's going on, but it's many times, like, I think it's a battle of self and other. And like, so for instance, like we feel the need internally to succeed and hit that goal, hit the number, you know, whatever it is, profit, revenue, blah, blah, blah. But yet we also want to feel connected and have other parts of our lives many times. And so, like, I think it's just this wrestling match, man. Like it's, and this is where, like, even it's, and we'll have to do an episode on this at some point too. Like, is like, how do you like actually turn off your mind even when you're not working so that you can enjoy being with your present? Cause here's what I see, man, is like people will, they feel guilty about not being with their family when they're working, and then they feel guilty about not working when they're being with their family. And it's this constant state of guilt. And right. So that prevents them from both being successful and enjoying business as well as being successful and enjoying their personal life. And so it's just as nomad's land that's really miserable, quite frankly.
Right. So think about it this way. He just talked about guilt. He talked about failure. And ask yourself this question. What's your definition of that failure? Like, and whose definition is it? Is it yours, or someone said, or is it society, or whatever it might be? And what drives it? You know, is it the ego that's driving the need for success? Because you look at these, some of these big gurus, and they, you know, telling you that they're made $1 million and they have a fancy car and a fancy house and all that kind of stuff. And now you want to live that life with, if it's truly you, fine. Right? But is it your definition, or is it somebody else's? Like, think about it this way. The whole thing about failure, if you really think about it, I don't know if anybody has a real, true, unified definition of failure. It's very personal to you as a person what failure means. So if that's the case, does that mean that maybe my definition of failure is kind of skewed, and I'm striving not to, you know, hit that? And because I'm constantly keep going after this, what ends up happening, I keep feeling like I'm failing, and that keeps me grinding, keeps me burned out, keeps me, you know, being busy, and I never get to that kind of an end result. And I think that's what ends up happening for a lot of people. So what is the solution? How do you actually get out of it? And I think what ends up happening, if I look at my own life back in my first marriage and how I was doing my business, I felt like I was pretty clear, or at least like I felt like I don't think I was very clear, But I created this quote unquote little business plan for myself. So the business plan, I was, you know, much more clear as far as what the life looks like. So whatever I was putting in front of me was like, I need to do this A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right? So I was working on the business because I had some form of a plan on the business. So that was part one. Part two is those lies that was kind of in the background that I had to do it myself because I was a one-man show. Because if I'm one-man show, then I get to control this and I get to be significant and I get to, you know, my ego, I have to do this, A, B, C, D, F, G, right? So those are two things. So what we talk about in Life on Air, and this is sort of like a Bass Ackwards when it comes to the society, is like, listen, figure out, be very clear what you want your vision, your life vision to look like, what you want your life to look like in every single area of your life. If you finally live that life that you truly want, you, not what the society says, but what you truly want, and you're clear on that, and then you start to design a business that supports that life, now things change because you start to design that business that's starting to support that life. So if you have a life for the vision and it says like, what's really important to me, one of my top priorities, let's say, is my wife. And what does that mean? That means that I spent, you know, we have gone on dates, maybe in the evenings, we spend this time on, you know, with me and my wife or whatever it might be. Then guess what? How do I start to design that business that supports that so that I can do that? And you start to become a lot more intentional in your life. You start to become a lot more, you know, productive, sort of speak. Make sense?
Yeah.
Hey, we'll get right back to our episode. But before we do, I want to tell you about something that will change your life when you choose to attend. And what I'm referring to is our Get a Life Getaway. This is a 3-day immersive training that Peter and I teach. And we walk you through the blueprint of how to create the detailed plan for the life you've always dreamed about. Peter, tell them what the event's like.
Yeah, so it is very personalized to you. You get to work on your own life. You let go of all the past hurts, and you actually get to create your life vision, create the life that you truly want. So how would they go about doing that, Bojo?
Dude, go to lifeinair.com, and you will see a tab for upcoming events. Click on the link. You'll read a description of the event, and then we will see you at the event itself. We do these all over the country. We do several per year, also virtually as well. And we would love to be there and walk you through this process to help you create the dream life you've always wanted. Let's get back to the episode.
So I think it's like a flip-flop. But the thing is, life first and then business. How is it supported? And I think most people are not even aware of setting it up that way, because I wasn't when I first came into this. And when you start looking from the perspective, like, huh, you know what? Maybe I can set up that business that way. I mean, yeah.
You know, man, I think there's also something here, like people wrestle with this feeling of, you know, being like, I don't want to say like being enough or being successful, but I think, you know, certainly like there was financial mile markers that I wanted to hit that drove me. And at the same time, you've got to temper that with like making sure that you are going to do it in a way that is not only sustainable, but isn't just unidimensional. Like, dude, when I was like, I look back now at, like, for instance, when I was a bodybuilder, when I had a contest, I would become a hermit for like 3 to 4 months, usually around 3 months. I wouldn't go out to eat. I wouldn't hang out with friends. I wouldn't, like, I mean, I just became a hermit because that's what I believed I needed to do, be successful. And then looking back years later, it was kind of a selfish endeavor. It was definitely a selfish endeavor because, like, you really make it all, it's all about you. Like, you know, it's all about you. And I realized I didn't really have to. Like, I didn't have to do it that way. I could have gone to the restaurant and just sat there with my friends and maybe not eaten or had some water and a salad. Or, you know what I mean? Like I could have done that, and I just had my head down buried to be, I'm like, hey, I'm going to do everything I need to be successful. But I sacrificed a lot during that process, and I don't think it was necessary. Like I feel like now, like with a little bit more maturity and perspective, like I could have had both. And I think people look at business like that too. Like, oh, I got to be head down. I got to be brass tacks. I got to be in the office at 6 a.m. I got to, you know, I just talked to the guy yesterday. And I mean, he basically works Yeah, 11 hours a day, 11 hours a day. He goes in 10:30, comes home at 9:30, and like it's wearing on him, but it's a very prestigious position, by the way, and there's a lot of sacrifices that go along with that. And I'm not saying in every case it's possible to avoid those under the present circumstances. Maybe you do have to make a change. Like maybe you're going to have to change things around or kind of move those shells around a little bit, but like it's possible. Because we see it all the time. Like, and so you, when you, the first step, like you said, man, is really creating that. You got to have a really clear vision of like what's most important to me. Like, and just be ruthlessly bold with that and don't mince words. Don't distill it down. Don't think like, oh, you know, I shouldn't want this or I feel guilty about wanting this or, you know, you write what you want and then. And then we can figure out the business side, but you got to have that vision first, man, because if without that, you're just going to work. You're just going to like, you're going to just, you know, go to default and just focus on that.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. So, which kind of you mentioned one other thing in there that I think leads us to the lie number three is the lie that more money equals more success. Mm-hmm. You know, like once I hit the seven figures or whatever it might be, once I hit, I'll finally feel secure or I finally feel fulfilled or I finally feel like proud or whatever it might be, I'll finally be able to do X, Y, Z. And I think there is this, you know, and where is this coming from? And I think a lot of that society, and I think what's happening, you know, in the last year or two, I think people are starting to wake up and looking from the perspective, they want more of that authenticity. You know, the whole flashy cars that, you know, that I, you know, made $1 million in 24 hours. People kind of looking at it like, you know what? I don't know if it's true. You know what I mean? When those quote unquote gurus talk about this kind of stuff. So, but I think it's a lie. You know, once I hit the seven figures, then I can do this, right? More success. If I'm more successful, then I'll have more money equals more success. Then I'll be able to go and spend time with the family and things like that. And I want to put one thing in here because I feel like we didn't say this. Like, there is no judgment here coming from our side, for me and Vojo here when we talk about this thing, because we both walk down this path. You know what I mean? But I want you guys to be able to see and, like, maybe something will spark in you in this particular podcast. Then you're going to go say, listen, yeah, you know what? These guys may be onto something. So let's see if I can shift my life and start doing it a different way. Because here's the thing. At the end of the day is this. Think about it this way. Would you trade, let's say, if I gave you $10 million in exchange for spending the time with your kids, your wife, or your significant other or the family? Would you take it? Like, you literally had to trade it. Like, either it's the $10 million or it's the family or it's the thing. And I think I find it hard to see, like, how many people would actually do that. Meaning, like, they would probably go for the family, you know, the time. Because we see that at the events all the time, when people start writing their vision, what do they talk about? Majority of the people that talk about is writing about connection, writing about being, you know, fulfilled with their relationships, with the people, with the relationships in their, you know, marriages, kids, parents, those kinds of things. So I think it's a really important thing to kind of start looking from the perspective of like, okay, let's design this life the way I want it.
You know, man, I think regardless of what income level you have, I think you acclimate to it. And so it's like, you know, if you remember when you're a kid, like, and I don't know everybody's upbringing clearly, but like, if you grew up in a small house, you just grew up in a small house. It was, that's mm-hmm. the way it was. And like, you just didn't think twice of it. It's just the way, you know, it's like, it wasn't any better or any worse. It was just what is what it is, you know? And then you get a bigger house and then, initially you're kind of feeling successful and you're okay, this is cool. And then you just kind of get used to it again. And you upgrade again and okay, there's a brief burst of like, hey, this is cool, I got a bigger house. And then mm-hmm. all of a sudden it's just normal again. And so I think it's unreasonable to think that that's going to change at some level. Like it's just gonna,
it's a moving goalpost.
Yeah, it's meaningless in a way. Like, and I mean, yeah, it's convenient, but like, I don't know if I feel any better in a $100,000 car versus a $20,000 car versus a 10, you know, I don't know, like or a house, you know, like I don't know if that's sustainably going to be different. And so if we recognize this through our past and have experienced this for ourselves, and we expect this to continue moving forward into the future, regardless of income level, then maybe bigger isn't better and more money is not more successful. Like, and so just perhaps that's a consideration to make. Like, I mean, I guess you could have some sort of, you know, puff your chest up and feel successful, but like at the end of the day, who cares? Like nobody really cares. So I'd focus on the things that are going to like continually like make a difference for you. And you're going to continually like feel excited about and passionate about and value. And right. Oftentimes I think it's for most people, not everybody, it's kind of what you said, man. It's the relationships, it's family, it's friends, it's experiences. It's just like, you know, community, like all these things are for most people somewhere up there on the list.
All right. And listen, we're not saying that you should be living a van down by the river, right? We're not saying that, you know, being broke is the thing, or, you know, we want to be successful. We want to live life, right? But recognize, whose life are you living here? Is it your definition, true, your definition, or is it somebody else's that somebody told you at some point that need to be more money equals more success and things like that? All right. So listen, to reiterate, the three lies, right? The grinding is the way to success, kind of a thing. If I'm not busy, I'm failing. And then more money equals more success. And if you like look at this, we'll start to see how they're universal, because we do these at the events and we see this all the time. It's so universal that's perpetuated in the society. And I think it leads to a lot of the burnout, leads to failures in marriages, leads to failures in, you know, health. People are, their health is suffering and all kinds of different things. So if you start to look from that perspective in your own life, are any of these lies guiding your life? Are any of them, you know, that you incorporated at some point in your life, and now start looking from the perspective, okay, what do I design my life? What does my life look like? Let's work on that vision. Let's create it. Where's that, you know, how do I go on actually doing that?
Love it, man.
That's a good step.
And by the way, if you don't have your own vision yet, the best place that I know on this planet Earth to create it is at our Get a Life Getaway. If you need help with the business side of things, once you have the vision, like, listen, yes, you can come out to the Business Builder Workshop without a vision, but it's so much more powerful when you have a vision first. That's where we kind of teach you to how to actually have both, so how to run a business that doesn't require you to do all the work. If you enjoyed this episode, guys, give it a thumbs up, give us a comment, help us with reaching more people and changing more lives and businesses. We hope these lies are something that no longer hold you back at any point in their pursuit of your vision. We'll see you next week, everyone. Take care.